Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 4. And our focus this morning is actually going to be on these words from verse 3. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God." Will you pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, again, how wonderful and blessed it is to gather in person and online to hear the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ. Send your Holy Spirit to work through this word in our hearing so that our faith is strong in Jesus, and may that faith be energized in love toward others. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So we're beginning a new series for Lent called The Power of the Cross. And if you actually look at the title, you'll see that power is in all caps, because that's what we're focusing on, power. And I've already anticipated this question. Pastor Ben, why are we focusing on power for Lent? Shouldn't we be focusing on, you know, repentance and our sin and the sufferings of Christ for our salvation? Isn't that what Lent is all about? Why power for Lent? Well, let me tell you why. Last year, after this pandemic had kind of shut everything down and, the only contact with the outside world was watching it on TV or on social media, at one point, I said to my wife, Melissa, I've never seen such a raw grab for power in my entire life. You know, case in point, there was the whole mask debate, whether we should wear them because they protect us and protect others, or whether, no, they're not really that protective and we shouldn't have to wear them. It's not whether you agree whether they're good for you or whether you should wear them or not. No, instead what I saw was people openly shaming others and getting into fist fights because they were either wearing a mask or not. I've never seen such a raw grab for power. And then take the summer of last year and the death of George Floyd. Now, it didn't matter which side you were on, whether you believed in systemic racism and we need justice, or whether, no, this was just a tragic incident. No. Instead, what I saw was people breaking into businesses and looting them. I saw police buildings set on fire. I saw people attacking police officers, tearing down statues, and I saw police officers attacking civilians. I've never seen such a raw grab for power. Oh, and then don't forget the election last year. Oh boy. Didn't matter whether you voted for one candidate or voted for the other. I saw relationships torn apart because only one candidate was the right candidate, and if you didn't vote for him, then we're done. I've never seen such a raw grab for power. And I saw many Christians jump right into the middle of all of it. I saw social media posts in which pastors were openly shaming other people that if you didn't agree with them, you were not Christian. I saw other Christians just criticizing one another. How can you believe that? Why would you do that? I saw tempers flare like I've never seen. Cancel culture invaded God's people People were dismissing others outright, trying to control the narrative of everything. Never seen such a raw grab for power. And the power that I'm talking about here is worldly power. This power seeks to manipulate others to get what you want. This power seeks to dominate others. This power seeks to control others so much to the point that they don't care what happens to the other person, whether they get hurt, whether they get crushed. I see this worldly power everywhere. I see it in marriages. I see it in families. I see it in workplaces. I see it in our nation, in our civil discourse. And yes, I even see it in the church. I've never seen such a raw grab for power in my lifetime. Unless you think I'm up here just saying, oh, look at me, I'm the holy one. Oh no, I jumped right in there as well. And it broke my heart. So why? Why power for Lent? I'm going to give you three reasons. The first one is that our use of power gives a witness to the world. And if Christians are using their power in worldly ways, what are we saying to the world? How will we be credible in their eyes? How will it look when we dishonor the Lord this way? The second reason is that our use of power reveals our fallenness, our sinfulness, and need for redemption. Oh man, every single time I saw Christians jump into this miasma of worldly power, wow, what a need for repentance. What a need for confession of sin. What a need for Jesus and his love and his grace. But the third reason is that our use of power shows who has power over us. Is it the Holy Spirit, the one that we receive in our baptism, the one that gives us new life, that fills us with the grace and the love and the forgiveness and salvation of Jesus Christ? Or is it the evil one, the tempter, Satan, the devil, who wants nothing more than for us to give in to worldly power and reveal our captivity to him? That is what is going on here in this text from Matthew 4. You see, Satan did not doubt that Jesus had power. That's why he says, if you are the Son of God. He's not casting any doubt. He knows who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. He has almighty power. But Satan tempts Jesus to use his power in worldly ways. With the first temptation, he's like, you know what? You're hungry? You've been fasting 40 days, 40 nights? Why don't you tell these stones to become bread? Go on, you're hungry. Feed yourself. But he was tempting Jesus to use his power to force a change in his circumstances for his own personal benefit, even though the Holy Spirit had led him directly into the desert for this very purpose. With the second temptation, he says, if you're the Son of God, why don't you chuck yourself off the top of the off the pinnacle of the temple? Look at it. It's far down there. But guess what? God's not going to let you get hurt. No. He'll protect his son. But see, Jesus then would be using his power to coerce God, to force him to save him. And with the third temptation, he says, you know what? All these kingdoms of the world that you see, they're mine. Yeah, they're under my control, and I'll give them to you. Just bow down and worship me. You see, Jesus could use his power then to secure control of the world if only he would actually worship Satan. But Jesus does use his power. But he uses his power in a godly way. When he says to Satan, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God," he's essentially saying, "I'm not going to use my power for my own benefit. I'm here to benefit others in their need. I'm not going to feed myself with bread. I'm going to feed 5,000 others with bread, not including the women and children, and I'm going to feed them as well." You know, when he says, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test," he's saying, "I'm not going to use my power to force my heavenly Father to come and wrap his arms around me with his holy angels. No, I trust him to protect me and to save me." And when he says, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only," he says, "I'm going to use my power, Satan, but it's going to be through my entire life, my entire ministry, that I am going to serve God wholeheartedly. So get out of here, Satan. I've won." You see, Jesus could have used his power in worldly ways. The temptation was there, but he sent Satan packing, because he used the power that could only come from God himself. And nowhere do we see this more than at the cross, as Jesus hangs there, nailed to it, bleeding and dying for all to see. I know at first glance it looks like Jesus is completely powerless there. I mean, look what happened to him. Betrayed by one of his own, a kangaroo court. Then he's beaten and mocked and flogged and spit upon. Then he's forced to carry his own cross all the way to Golgotha. And then he's nailed to the cross, crown of thorns pressing his head, and just all this stuff, and he's bleeding and dying. He doesn't look powerful at all. But Jesus shows great, great power when he dies on the cross to save you and me. When he loses his life so that he can give us our lives back. When he worships his Father and serves him only by crying out, "Father, forgive them." And it is finished. Oh yeah. He could have said, "You know what? I'm going to save myself." He could have cried out to his Father, "Save me." He could have said to Satan, "I can't do this. You win. I'll serve you." He could have done that at the cross. But instead, he willingly died for you and for me, showing a godly power that completely disarms all of the worldly power in the world. He sends Satan packing through this use of power. And the good news for you and me is that this power is what Jesus uses for you and me. He uses this power at the cross to forgive our sin all those times you and I give in to worldly power. All those times that we use our power to manipulate others for our own benefit, to get what we want, Jesus gives us his love. All those times that we dominate others, trying to write our own narrative there, no. Jesus gives us his death and resurrection to overcome it. All those times we seek to control others for our own selfish, sinful benefit, Jesus gives up control so that we may be saved. All those times that you and I see ourselves give in to that worldly power, where we seek our own benefit, where we coerce others, where we bow down to Satan and give in to his temptations, Jesus goes to the cross, dies there to take away our sin. But he also uses this power to bring us under the power of the cross. Because when we are under the power of the cross of Jesus Christ, we use our power in godly ways. We trust in Jesus and serve him only. When we are under the power of the cross, we get to show the world a completely different power that can only come from the cross. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, for the next 4 weeks in Lent, we're going to look at four characteristics of this godly power that Jesus has when you and I are constantly tempted to give in to worldly power. But the good news is, you already got the power. It's a power that Jesus showed at Golgotha and in the wilderness. It's a power that saves. It's a power that redeems. It's a power that forgives. And it's a power that sets us free to live under the power of the cross. Amen.